Good morning. Right, it's good to be with you again. Thanks for the invite. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to have a look at a parable of the lost son. And I think this is very familiar to us all, isn't it? And but do you know what? It's a passage that's just been really speaking to me of late. And I know God has used it in my life. And I just wanted to share some thoughts with you today. And I thought we'd just start off by just a word of prayer. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, as we open your word now, Lord, I just pray that your spirit will just meet with us, Lord, and our hearts will be open to receive from you today. Lord, we thank you that you're such a great God who wants to give and give and give. And Lord, just speak to us today, I pray. Give us new revelation. In your precious name we ask it. Amen. I was just sharing with a few people whilst we were praying before the service started. What I'm doing at the moment, for those of you who don't know, my name's Dave Collett, and I work as an evangelist in Worcester. And what I do is I go out onto the streets of Worcester, and my heart is for all people, but I tend to get drawn to people with life-controlling issues. With drug issues and alcohol issues. And I think that came from my experience in being a policeman. And during that time, I was just dealing with people who were stuck in a rut of crime, drugs and alcohol. And in all honesty, I could see no hope for them, except through Jesus. And I know that Jesus called me to become an evangelist, and that's what I'm doing now. So I'm out meeting folks who are imprisoned, and basically I've got no hope, except through knowing Jesus. So that's where my heart comes from. And I have to say, reading this parable, over the last 3 months, I've just met so many people who have told me their life is the pits. That's not the language I use, but they're just in absolute despair. And I'd say over the last 3 or 4 months, I've met about 15 people who have just openly said that to me. And it's not just a phrase. You can see the pain in their lives, thinking, we are deep in trouble and we've got no answer. And I've just been thinking, Lord, just help me here. And it just drew me to this parable. And do you know what? These parables, we can often read them and know about them. And you might think, sat there today, oh, I know this parable, you don't have to talk to me about this. But you know what, there's so much depth in this. And not just being a story that's over here, we are in this parable. Every single one of us is in this parable. And I'll just read it through quickly, shall I? I think we all know it, but I'll read it through. In fact, I better read it from here, haven't I? What else is the NIV, isn't it? Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me a share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything there, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no...'" Where have we got? "Yeah, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Okay. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this your brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Okay. You know, we live in a society where lives are in a desperate state. And I don't care what's going on the inside of people's lives. You start asking them some questions, and people out there, even in this estate, this little village here, are in a desperate state. And it just makes me think of this parable. Because in this parable, I think we've got three scenes. I'm no good at acting, but if I was going to plan a play for this, I think we've got three different areas. We've got the pig pen, we've got the road home, and then we've got I'll put the table and the party. Okay? And I just want to have a look at that, because this young son had lost everything. He was at the bottom and he was feeling really low. Okay? But then he came to himself. It said in the NIV, he came to himself. I believe that was revelation from God. Revelation from God. And I think, you know, as we go through these three areas, I think we either fall in every single one of them. And I want to explain that as we go along. So this man was really low, and he had revelation from the Lord. "It is better if I go home." Now my guess here, I know that the Lord has revealed himself to all people. It's what we do with that revelation. It's what we do with it. I don't know what state you're at. Some of you, most of you, I imagine, are Christians. Some of you may not be. I love those people who are not Christians and are here. Because I believe God is speaking to you. And that's why you're here. Because he wants to speak to you more. And he wants you to obey his voice. Because everything that happened to this man in this story, it exceeded his expectations. He wanted to go back to be a servant. Okay? His mind wasn't in line with God's. And God just revealed more to him. And we see that there was a turning of heart and mind. We were talking about the heart earlier on, wasn't it? You know, and God started to move in this man's heart. And his heart and his mind turned. And we see the repentance. "I've blown it. I've messed up. I need to go home." That was his heart. "I need to go and see my father and put things right." Okay? Now, you may have had revelation from God. And what are you going to do with it? Are you going to trust it? Are you going to walk in it? Or are you going to hide, just like Adam and Eve did? Because this man had something big to do. He had to go back to his father. The fear of it could have stopped him doing anything. And if he'd have thought about it too much, processed it in his mind, "Wow, I'm going to go back, I'm going to be a servant, it could be horrendous." He didn't let his mind overcome him. He'd received revelation from the Lord and thought, "I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with this." Sometimes our fear stops us. And if God reveals things to us, it comes in power. I was with a man yesterday, and I've known this man for about 4 years, and he's been involved in drugs for about 29 years, okay, addicted to drugs. And in those 4 years, I was just pleading with him to go to rehab. I was saying, "You need to go to rehab or else you're going to die." And I tried, and nothing was ever going to happen. And you know what, I even believed that. I thought, "This chap can't go to rehab." When I'm talking about rehab, I'm talking about Christian rehab as well. Okay? Then one day, I was at a conference with him. I had nothing to do with him. And he came up to me and he said, "Dave, the Lord has given me this word." And he said, "He's told me it is finished. I want to go to rehab." Okay? God had spoken to him. And when God speaks, his words come in power for it to be fulfilled. So me saying, "Rich, you need to go to rehab," it's got no power in it. It's got no power. But when God has spoken to him and said, "Rich, you need to go to rehab," That's where he's gone. And I just saw him yesterday. He's been in there 9 months, and he's clean of every drug. 29 years clean, okay? And boy, he was a ditherer. But when God spoke to him, he obeyed what God said. And that has come in power. And let me tell you, he would never have done that in his own strength. God has given him the power to do it, okay? Now, are you in the pig pen today? And I'm not just talking about spiritually in that respect now. You could be in the pig pen in a situation where you're thinking, I'm really struggling with this. Just allow God to speak to you and give you revelation, because he wants to walk you out of it. He wants you to walk out of it and just seek revelation from him. Okay, he heard God and he acted in faith. And what follows exceeds his expectation. What follows exceeds his expectation. We see the road home, scene two, if you like. Okay? The father is looking with compassion. That's a big word, isn't it? Compassion. Oh, we need the compassion of Jesus, don't we? The father. And that's what he is. He's full of compassion. And do you notice what he did? He ran. We don't have patriarchs that run, but the father ran to him. He ran to him. He embraced him. He covered him and he kissed him. Kissed him. And we all need that. We all need that. That son was in danger. If you think that father was important, he'd run off with half the inheritance, could have put people's jobs in the village in jeopardy. He wouldn't have been well liked. But the father went round and covered him. Do you know what that son had to bring back to his father? Everything he brought back to his father was offensive. Pig muck, the smell of pigs, offensive to his father. But his father embraced him. Do you know what? When we come to Jesus, we've got nothing to give him. Nothing except our sin. Everything we give to Jesus is offensive, and yet he accepts us. He accepts us. That's the only thing we bring to the contract, if you like, of coming to Jesus. We bring our sin and ourselves. That's all we've got. And Jesus embraces us. He embraces us. And he covers that sin. He covers that shame. That's beautiful, isn't it? So whatever you may be struggling with today, Jesus overcomes it. He covers it and he embraces you. And do you know what? We all need the touch of Jesus. Now, I've got 4 kids. And they're all under 10. And I've just been learning myself the importance of touch. The importance of touch. You know, you can tell a child you love them, but unless you touch them, they've got no concept of love. No concept of love at all. You know, when they came out into the world, the first thing you do is the touch, isn't it? The importance of being touched. You know, we're not talking religion here. We're talking about the Father touching your life. Touching your life. Okay? He wants to touch us. He wants to cleanse us. And you know what the kiss is all about? The kiss is about peace. I thought about saying an illustration here. If I've had an argument with my wife, the last thing she wants is a kiss off me. Until we've sorted it out. But a kiss is about a kiss of peace. This is what the father does to the son. He kisses him to say it's all right. But we can never experience peace until we've experienced the grace and the mercy and the cleansing of Jesus. Okay? Have you got peace in your life? Because if you haven't, there may be some issues you need to sort out with the father. He's dying to kiss you and give you peace and help you sort out those issues. Sort out those issues. Now, I want to ask you where you are today. Are you in the pig pen? Thinking there's no hope? Or have you walked home to allow God to sort out those issues? Because he wants to. He wants to. And when we come to him, you know, to receive his grace and mercy and forgiveness, that's the start of our voyage, our journey, our life in Jesus. And can I say personally, this is where my Christian walk stopped at one point. Okay? I knew I was a sinner. I came to Jesus. I knew I met with him. I knew I'd received the forgiveness of Jesus. But I stopped at this point. I stopped. And do you know what? It disappointed me. I even got to the point where I was disappointed with Jesus. And can I tell you why? It's because he wasn't the Lord of my life. But there's another scene here. There's another scene where he wants to take us. And he wants to take us to the table. He wants to take us to a table. And he wants us to receive from him. Okay? And he wants us to receive from him in life. We've just been praying about, I don't know the people, about different situations. Difficult situations. Can I tell you, God wants to give you the strength and the resources to help you in those situations. Okay? And that might not mean changing those situations, may not mean healing. It may do, but it may mean changing you and your perspective in those situations. Okay? All right, this is a start of a voyage. When we come home, he's put on the new clothes. Okay? And do you know what saved means? It means receiving a person. It means receiving Christ in us. Our strength. Our hope. I just wanted to read a verse in Colossians. Let's have a look in Colossians. This is a great verse. These are Colossians 2, 8, 9 and 10. I'll just read them out. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is head of all principality and power. That deserves an amen, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. So the God who's in you is over every principality and power. Okay? I've got some issues in my life at the moment. I just think, Lord, just help me. Just help me at the moment. And, you know, this man, okay, he's now got a new identity. It's not an improvement on the old nature. It's a new identity. Okay? He's imparted. And also, he's got a new diet. The pig pods have gone. Okay? And he's now feeding at the Father's table. Now that is special. That is special. Feeding on him. Okay? Just a verse here in Songs of Solomon. Listen to this. This is before the rapture. If you read, this is in chapter 2. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples. I've got no idea what the raisins and the apples mean. Perhaps somebody else can help me later on. But listen to those words. Sustain and refresh me. That's what he wants to do. That's what God's table is all about. I need sustaining, Lord. I need refreshing. And that's what he does, because he wants to build us up. He wants to build us up. And we can deny our inheritance. You know, I was, over the last couple of weeks, I've been down to a rehab down in Wales. I've been down to two, in fact. And they were so interesting, Christian-run rehabs. And I was just looking at some of their films they watched, all Christian films. Okay? Not allowed to watch any TV, just the news. And one girl who went down to rehab as well, she was wearing a football top. They said, none of that in here. Okay? They were working on the diet. What people were feeding themselves on. Okay? That's what this table's about. Jesus is saying, feed on me. Who is feeding you? Who's feeding me? Jesus is saying, I want to feed you. I want to feed you with food that is good. And folks, you know, I've just been learning just to come and sit at the table with Jesus. My disappointment in Jesus wasn't in him. It was me not making him Lord of my life and coming to dwell and commune and receive from him. The disappointment was all about me not making him Lord. And, you know, this son went in. And I just want to go to, this is really startling, isn't it? This is Numbers 13. Numbers 13. I'm going to read a little bit of this. There's some really complicated names in it, so I will miss those out. And listen to this. This is about the spies being sent into Canaan. Have you put that up there? No, that's okay. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." Okay, now that's not complicated, is it? Go and spy out this land, which I am going to give you. Okay? So when God says it, it's going to happen, isn't it? I'm going to give you this land. All right? I'm going to miss out a few. Hang on. 17 to 20. Here we go. "Then Moses sent them out to spy the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many." Doesn't matter whether they're many. Doesn't matter if they're strong, does it? God has said, you will have it. "Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season for the first ripe grapes." Where am I going after that? Let's go to 26. Here we go. "Now they had departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, 'We went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites dwell by the sea all along the banks.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than us.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out. 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.'" Okay, then verse chapter 14. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness.'" God has said it's theirs. God has said it was theirs. Whatever was in there, it was theirs. God has told us today, come and dine at the table with me, and I will sustain you, I will refresh you. Okay, come and eat and receive from me. And sometimes we rob ourselves of our inheritance through fear. I'm talking to myself here, folks. Okay? We rob ourselves through fear. And God has said, I want to build you up. I want you to taste and see that I am good. And folks, I want us to know that place. Know that table of receiving from Jesus. Because for many years I was outside of that table. I didn't think I was good enough to go in. And also I wanted to be Lord of my own life. But God wants to feed me and refresh me. And some days when I can't cope, he refreshes. He gives me his word. And he is good. And he wants to bless you as well. Come and dine and eat with him. I just wanted to finish on a word as well. My wife is, she's been listening to a lady, I've never heard of this lady, a lady called Anne Voskamp. Has anybody heard of her? No. But what do you think the son's reaction was when he went back? He's got all these new clothes. He's in the party. My guess is he's slightly thankful. I wouldn't say slightly, I'd say he's very thankful. And he gives thanks. And I've just been looking at this word. The word for give thanks in the Greek is called Eucharisto. Eucharisto. Okay? Now you might notice the word charis is in that. Okay? Charis means grace. Charis means grace. Now chara, which is a derivative of that root word, equals joy. So can you see the connection between joy, give thanks, and grace? Okay? They are all connected. They are all connected. And I just want to just quickly run through some stories here. Because I think sometimes we rob ourselves of the joy. This is gone. When we look at this man coming back and dining, we hear the words celebration, we hear the words merry, we hear the words joy. Okay? Those are essential for us. Okay? When we're saved by Jesus, we don't deserve to be saved. He's taken all my rubbish and he's invited me into his party. That is to celebrate, folks. Okay? Now, I just want you just to see some examples of this in motion, if you like. The communion, when Jesus was in the upper room, okay, about to go to his death, what did he do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks. Now, the pressure on him at that point, but he gives thanks to the Father. Okay? And then we see at the resurrection the joy, don't we? We see the move of the Father, and then we see the joy coming after it, the resurrection. The feeding of the 5,000. I just want you to think how you'd react in these things. The disciples are getting pretty stressed at the feeding of the 5,000, aren't they? Lord, what are we going to do with these people? We've got no food. Bit of pressure. Okay? Okay? And this bloke, this young lad brings these 5 loaves and 2 fish. If those were presented to you, how would you react? You'd hit the roof, wouldn't you? Okay? Jesus gives thanks. We see the move of the kingdom of God. Okay? Then we see the joy at everybody being fed. Okay? Lazarus, John 11. Okay? Jesus is going to the grave. Lazarus, he hears, is dead. Jesus gives thanks. Okay? We see the kingdom of God move in. Okay? And we see Lazarus raised up. We see the joy. Folks, we might be experiencing difficulties in our lives. Can I encourage you to give thanks? To allow the kingdom of God to move in. And then you will see his joy. You will see the joy of the kingdom of God moving. That might not be in the situation itself. As I said before, it might be in you and me. But that's what God wants to do. He wants the kingdom of God to move into your situations. And that's why he wants us to be eating at his table and receiving from him. And I just find that staggering. I find that staggering. And I've just moved on from that. I just want to finish on this. Matthew. Sorry, we're darting around. I hope you're still with me. As I was looking at that word, Eucharisto, this came to me about the parable of the sower. But he who receives a seed on the stony places, this is he who receives the word and immediately receives it with joy. So receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, he immediately stumbles. Just have the joy. And when persecution comes along and difficulties, they stumble. This is a challenge to me, folks. I wonder in those circumstances whether we need to give thanks. Give thanks for what the Lord's done for our lives and allow the kingdom of God to move in those situations. Okay? To see the joy afterwards. Now, that hits me, folks. I'm not just preaching that. That hits me hard. Because I think of difficulties. Difficulties that I have to deal with. I'm thinking, Lord, I give thanks for what you've done for me. I know this son just gave thanks every day. And I mean, I don't want to read what's not in Scripture, but you think there may have been issues with the older brother. You know, it needed God's power and God's revelation to deal with those situations. And we're not going to have an easy ride, folks. But God is there to feed us and sustain us. and he wants you to come at the table. Don't sit at the corner. Come and dwell at the table and just receive from him. Receive from him. And then we'll be able to keep telling people of the joy of what Jesus has done in our lives. In this situation, in that situation. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. But in all things, give thanks. Now, I usually run groups with men who are far less polite than you, and sometimes they want to throw things at me or say things. Folks, if you just want to share anything, throw out a comment or a question, please do, because you know, you might have a word for every one of us, unless you want to stone me. No? Sorry? Where's the tennis ball? I'm glad you didn't ask for the stone. Yeah, but yeah, just chew on that. Okay, chew on that word and just allow God to speak to you through it. Okay? And challenge me on things, you know? Because you have to test everything I've said. You have to test it. Okay? Amen.